the percentage. So, so what kind of user-generated content does the BBC actually use at the moment?
Well, obviously there's message boards and stuff like that. We go right across the board, really, from anything from small video clips to pictures. You know, we'll ask people to create their own pictures and modify pictures. We've asked people to make mixes. We're just doing something similar now with a DJ called Mr. Jam, where he's encouraging people to make their own mixes to send into his show, and he'll play them on the show. My ideal scenario is that we'd set up a platform. At the moment, the BBC can only podcast shows that have gone out on air. But for me, the ideal world would be we set up a platform where we can encourage people to make their own podcasts, and we can put them on this platform. So you've got all the content produced by the BBC, but you've also got all this long tail of new DJs and new presenters creating their own content that we can, you know, we can talk about and we can bring people to.
Is that a model for the future? Do you think there'd be less sort of say like shows where 2, 3, 4 million people listen to it, would be more of the so-called long tail?
Well, yeah, that would be my model. That really would be my model. I mean, one of the things that, I mean, I've been saying this for the last 2 or 3 years now, but you know, people talk about Jonathan Ross and Chris Miles and how much they're getting paid and these big stars. Without a doubt, I can guarantee the future Jonathan Ross is making videos on YouTube somewhere, and the future Chris Miles, they're doing it in the digital space. They're not doing it the way they were when they were kids, doing it in a bedroom and then taking it to hospital radio. I can guarantee they've knocked out mixes and put them on Mixcloud, or you know, they've made their own videos of themselves as entertainers, shall we say, and they're doing their own film reviews and putting them on there. So I just think it's kind of,
but it's still like a vetting process. They're practicing before they get through the golden gates.
Yeah, and I think.
But is it not like a vision where they actually be doing their stuff, but more people looking at it? The BBC wouldn't even have any control, it may not even exist, or have to exist in a very different kind of model.
Yeah, but if we kind of gave them the platform to do that, it puts our eyes in that space, and whilst, you know, the opportunities for us to do that are limited, the more we did it, the more we'd know about who's out there. I mean, there's some really incredible people out there. I stumble across some brilliant people with their own YouTube channels who are doing some really, really funny, interesting stuff. You know, future Adam and Joe's.
But why would they want to be on the BBC then? They can make their own stuff like the way they want it.
Great question. They don't. Maybe they don't want to. Maybe they don't need to.
I just wonder about that, because I love the BBC as an institution, as a thing, but it doesn't really fit. It's a clumsy dinosaur now with the internet, and what we're talking about here is you can make your own content, and the whole thing's fracturing, getting smaller and smaller. You don't need something that big anymore, do you? And you've got a model here where you're saying, if you're very good, you can end up working for the BBC. But is that going to be the future?
Possibly not. You're right. I'm the one person you do not have to tell about it being a clumsy dinosaur. I mean, I always say I've got the best job in the BBC because my role is, I'm in charge of digital creativity for BBC Audio and Music, so I virtually walk in with a blank page every day. But the problem is, there's so many options in the BBC, there's so much opportunity because we are a public-funded company. The big problem is there are so many rules as well that stop you from doing great things. And I always say it's like being in a sweet shop run by a dentist. You know, you just kind of, you know, there's all these great opportunities and you just want to get stuck in, but there's someone always there going, mm-mm-mm. You know, so.
Well, so just talk about rules, because we talked about the swear words before. I mean, what are the parameters of the content you can provide? Is there certain things you can't say or do?
Yeah, there is. I mean, obviously, there's the obvious thing that we said before. There is like a banned list. So there are certain words that are banned, which...
Not just the words, I mean actual content or things. Is it like a tastemaker process involved as well? The BBC only allows certain types of things through?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's restrictions, and there's processes put in place now. Particularly, I mean, there's lots of talk about the Jonathan Ross Russell Brand incident and how that's changed the BBC, and it kind of has terribly. I mean, you can't imagine the amount of time I spend now just complying to Westwood videos, you know, listening to freestyles from you know, some grime artists, having to listen to every single word they say, and occasionally not quite understanding the context of what they're saying, so having to kind of float that idea around people in the grime scene saying, well, what does it actually mean that? Because I literally do not understand the words, you know, that they're saying. That sounds like really stupid, but, you know, unless you're kind of 17, living in a particular area in London, you don't quite know the context of what they're saying.
Which actually makes it back to being a dinosaur again, isn't it? Because the culture's moving so fast, you can't keep up with it, can you?
Yeah.
Not you personally, the BBC is a thing.